makes new. That's the power of Christ's love. His promise is true. He came down from heaven above to the cross for a ruined world, and he shed his blood for you. Didn't he prove he could make all things new?
John F. Kennedy Jr. once said, "People often tell me I could be a great man. I'd rather be a good man." The title of the podcast is Good Versus Great, and the theme is going to be allowing God to live through us to achieve great things, but also while being good people. So going back to that quote real quick, JFK Jr. said, "People often tell me I could be a great man. I'd rather be a good man." Now, this is coming from a man who was born wealthy. He was known as America's prince. Pretty much, if you know now, if you get online, or if you look at the tabloids at the grocery store, you pretty much, even if you want to, know what's going on overseas with the royal family over in England with the king and Prince William and Prince Harry and their wives and their children. Even if you don't want to follow it, you're going to see what's going on with them. Well, back in, I guess, the 80s, but especially the 90s, when I was growing up, I remember JFK Jr. was America's prince, and he was pretty much royalty for America, and he was the son of the late President John Kennedy, JFK. And he was quoted by saying that he could be a great man. People tell him he could be a great man, but he would rather be a good man. And what he was saying was, I think, of all the great men that he knew, those great men had their flaws. And great in the world's eyes can be defined as a person who was accomplished more than an ordinary individual, and they're celebrated. But unfortunately, this does not always mean that those great people were good people. I think that might be where that quote comes from, the old saying rather comes from, never meet your heroes. This is because you have these deeply, highly respected people who accomplished these wonderful things, but they weren't the best fathers or mothers, or they weren't the greatest friends. They weren't the best communicators. They didn't necessarily, they weren't exactly known for being affectionate people or for being good people. There's a friend of JFK Jr. His name was John Perry Barlow, and this is from the documentary I Am JFK. I'm going to quote him by saying, and this is referring to JFK Jr., he said, "He called me once and said, it seems like it would be a cakewalk for me because everyone expects me to be a great man. But it does seem to me, as I read these biographies of great men through history, they were not particularly great at home. Even my father was no model. And I think it would be a much more interesting challenge to see if I can make myself into a good man." So he aspired to be someone graceful, someone loving, someone kind. Again, this is somebody who was born royalty. This is somebody who was born into wealth. And really, all he had to do was just follow a mold and follow a certain path that was laid out for him. And he could have been known as a great man. So there's a little bit of application here. Actually, there's a lot of application here. There's truth here. And sometimes we can pursue greatness, but we also forget how to be good people. Let's start this off by defining both great and good. So the word great means of an extent, amount, or intensity considerably above the normal or average. That's great. The word good is defined as to be desired or approved of. So great and good. there's other sayings. Why be good when you can be great? And you see where both are coming from. So you have one side of the coin where you have someone who's saying, hey, why be good when you can be great? Why be average when you can pursue greatness and be a great person? Who wants to just be normal? Who wants to just float through life and not accomplish anything and just be mediocre? But then you have the other side of the coin where you have the quote of JFK Jr. saying, hey, I don't want to be a great man. I'd rather be a good man. Meaning there's a lot of people who pursue greatness and they don't want to be mediocre, but in their pursuit of greatness, they lose sight of how to be a good person. They achieve all these wonderful things. Maybe they get the office of president, or they achieve something that only a few other people have achieved, but yet they're not the best people at home. So, of the two of those, how can we apply that to ourselves spiritually? So, what should we, as a Christian, what should you want to be? Should you want to be great, or should you want to be good? So, first and foremost, let's be very clear on something. God is both great and good. Psalm 145 verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. God is a great God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. The word omniscient means he's all-knowing. Psalm 147 verse 5 says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God is omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with man this is, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. That's Mark 10, verse 27. He's omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. Jeremiah 23, verse 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I feel heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. God is all-knowing. He's ever-present. He's all-powerful. There is nothing we can learn that God does not know. There's no place we can go that he hasn't been. There's nothing too great for him to handle. Isaiah 40, verse 12 says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and scales and the hills in a balance. 71% of our earth is ocean. And as of 2023, only an estimated 5% of the ocean has been discovered. With all of our advancements, with all of our technology, only 5% of the ocean has been discovered, yet God holds it all in his hand. We have a great God, but we also have a good God. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Not only does God meet the definition of great, he also meets the definition of good. He's desired. He's faithful. He's gracious. He's merciful. He's not only the God of the big things. Not only is he the God of all the universe and can weigh and measure and hold it all in the palm of his hand, but he's also a good God. He's faithful. He's merciful. He brings peace and joy. Psalm 107 verse 9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. So not only is his knowledge infinite, not only is his power, can we not measure it or understand it, but also he's abundant in goodness and truth. He's a good God. He fills our hungry soul with goodness. Not only does he have the power of everything, but also he can satisfy and fill that void like no one else can. The best example of all of this is when Jesus was living among us, when God manifested himself in the flesh. He not only showed the greatness of God, not only did the Son of God show the miracles, he caused the blind to see, he made the lame to walk, he called Lazarus up and raised him from the dead, but he also showed us how to be a good person. He lived and modeled the life of a good person. Yes, he walked on the sea, but he also was good. Here are some ways Jesus was good. Let's just kind of give some examples here. He left the place better than he found it. He loved unconditionally. He spoke the truth boldly, but always out of love. He treated people as the end, not a means to the end. What's that old saying, kill them with kindness? That's nothing more than being passive aggressive. You can't kill a person with kindness. Jesus loved people with kindness. He was intentional about his quiet time with the Father, a time of prayer, a time of worship, a time of study. He forgave. He gave sacrificially. Now, his wisdom was infinite. His power, he was God in the flesh. His greatness. We can pursue a great life through his power, but we cannot be great like he is. However, all of those things he did as a good man, we can as well pursue that life. Leaving a place better than we found it. Loving people unconditionally. Not treating people as a means to the end. Not using people to get what we want, but treating people as the end. People are our ministry. Being intentional about our time with the Father and studying and worshiping. Forgiving. Giving ourselves sacrificially, all of those things, because of him, we can do. So God is not only great, but he's also good. Very quickly, I want to talk about a couple things. Number one, the dangerous pursuit of greatness without God. The dangerous pursuit of greatness without God. If we're not careful, we'll let society define what it means to be great. Sometimes we fall into the trap of wanting great things for the wrong reasons. Falling into the trap of being getting distracted with the American dream, if you will. And I know I don't have all my listeners in the States. I know they're actually thankful for this, but the Lord has been having a podcast, so there's not everybody understands the American dream is what I'm trying to say. But the American dream is simply having a piece of the pie, having your piece of the pie. It's almost a sense of entitlement. Why not be able to have an unlimited bank account? Why not be able to achieve things that your mom and dad weren't able to do? I mean, that was that was what a lot of people said. A lot of the generations before us said, I want to raise my children so they can have more than I had. That's the American dream. Being able to have a bigger house, to have a better car, to be able to have more money in the bank account. If we're not careful, we will define those things as being great. If we're not careful, we'll want great things for the wrong reasons. We'll want more recognition, more reverence, more responsibility, meaning more recognition, meaning we want more praise. We want to be great at something so we can be revered as the greatest, so we can be praised. We want to be great so we can have that reverence, so we can be put on a pedestal. We want more responsibility, meaning that we have the pleasure of being the best and knowing more than others, having more responsibility because we know more, we have more, and we're the best. There's an old saying, heavy is the head that wears the crown. And in our pursuit of being great, we add stress on ourselves. We really, when you want to be the best at everything, always knowing what to say, always having the right thing, always knowing more than the next person, always being funnier than the next guy. If the person next to you accomplishes great things, you accomplish more than them. There's competitiveness, there's envy, there's a lot of jealousy, there's strife will also creep in. If we're not careful, when we try to be the best at everything, when we try to know more and have more wisdom, we can come across as very condescending. We can come across as very prideful. I think this is kind of what that quote earlier about JFK Jr. was saying, that people often tell him that he could be a great man and he would rather be a good man. Well, that's a wonderful quote, especially you got to have some empathy here and try to put yourself in his shoes. Now, it's hard for me to do that because I was not born wealthy. My dad was not the president. I'm not born into that family. But if you think about it for a minute, this guy probably had the chance to meet a lot of great people. When I say great, I'm referring to in the eyes of society. He had the opportunity to meet Gandhi. He had the opportunity to meet other presidents like his father and men and women of great power. So when he said, "Hey, I don't want to be a great man, I want to be a good guy," this is a man who's met a lot of those individuals who were very condescending and prideful, and they were so caught up in living a great life and being great people that they forgot how to be good people. I think of the comedian Robin Williams. Everyone, a lot of people love Robin Williams. If you grew up in the 90s like I did, your childhood was impacted in a positive way by Robin Williams. I think of Genie from Aladdin. I know there's other movies, Mrs. Doubtfire, Jumanji. There's so many different things that he did. I remember the older I got, though, I saw him one time on a talk show. And he was on the talk show, and it was very cringy watching him because the entire time he was trying to be the funniest guy in the room. He couldn't just relax and talk. I was watching him, and he was just extremely silly. What he was doing wasn't funny, and he was just trying to live up to the expectation that others had of him. And that's a sad way to live. Because when you pursue greatness and you want to be the best at everything, if you're not careful, you can fall into that trap. And you can really lose touch with reality. You go to talk to someone, and instead of meeting them where they are and looking them in the eye and being a good listener and loving people, you're so caught up in wanting to be the best that you're not able to do that. And there are so many people at work who they're so caught up in getting that next promotion, they forget to create relationships with people and check in on people who have a loved one who's going through something, or be able to make those connections, even sadly, with your own family. So there's a dangerous pursuit of greatness without God because there's so many things that can creep in there. There's not only there's you lose touch with reality, you lose those relationships, but also not only that, sin, more importantly than all, sin will creep in. You'll never have enough. You'll never be satisfied. And there's idolatry there of putting yourself above others or worshiping things or worshiping titles and positions. We sometimes try so hard at being great, we forget how to be good. The person who tries to be the funniest sometimes forgets how to make people laugh. The person who tries to be the best, the sports player who tries to be the best at everything sometimes forgets how to just simply be a good teammate, but also simply just have fun playing the game. Sometimes we try so hard to be the best wife, be the greatest husband, and have this great ministry, we forget how to simply be a good wife or a good husband, or be good at our ministry, or be a good preacher or a good teacher. There's a dangerous pursuit of greatness without God, but there's also a dangerous pursuit of goodness without God. So it all sounds good. It really does. It sounds good saying, and there's nothing, I'm not knocking JFK Jr.'s quote here. I'm really not. Because I like what he said. Be honest with you, that is something that I've written down in my journal, and that is something that's a good reminder. It really is. It's a good reminder to want to tell yourself, "Hey, Don't aspire, don't forget how to be a good person while aspiring greatness. Don't, you know, and that's a wonderful way to live. But also, there's the other side of that coin. There's also a dangerous pursuit of goodness without God. Letting society define what it means to be good. Try to let our goodness outweigh our bad. Using good works as a mean for justification. Hey, at the end of the day, I didn't accomplish anything great, but I'm a good guy, or I'm a good girl, I'm a good woman. Listen, that is you're on the dangerous path of living a life of self-justification and just laziness, the cop-out mentality. Hey, I'm not trying to be great. I'm not a Bible scholar. I don't know much, but I'll tell you what. I know that God saved me, and I want to help others, and I want to be a good person. Well, let's be very clear on something. There are requirements of us as Christians. And if we're not careful, just saying, hey, I don't want to be great, I just want to be a good person, that can lead to a cop-out mentality of, I'm not a Bible scholar, so I'm just not going to study. I'm just going to love people, and I'm going to use that as a means to justify myself of really what God has called me for. So Christian, listen, not only does God want us to be good people through him, he also wants us to accomplish great things. There is a lot that God has for us. So what is it? Is it great? Is it good? Well, let me tell you, life with God, we should aspire to be both, because God is both. Saying you don't want to be a great person, or saying you don't want to be a good person, God is both great and good. So the last point is the pursuit of life with God. Be great people. Be an above average Christian through Christ and him alone, the best version of yourself in Christ. Think of the attributes of God, his greatness. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. It's okay for us to want to be the greatest version of ourselves, and let the attributes of God shine through us. The knowledge of God, the all-knowing knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God, be able as Christians to seek more and have God live through us and give us more wisdom and give us more knowledge and allow us to be great people. Allow the Spirit to work through us in a great way and direct our paths. And remember, God is a great God, and pursue a great life with God. That's what Elisha did. He said, I want a double portion of what you had. He's talking to Elijah. He didn't just settle for a good life. He wanted a great ministry. He wanted God to work in him in a powerful way. So not only pursue life as a great Christian, don't settle for less. Don't settle for a pew-sitting Christian or a Christian who's been saved for 40 years but only knows the ABCs of Christianity and only knows the very basics and justifies their life through trying to help somebody here and there and just waste away and says, hey, I'm saved, I'm good. Pursue a great life with God. Pursue a life that God can use you and like people from years ago, David Livingstone and C.S. Lewis and all these individuals, Amy Carmichael, all these people that we can talk about hundreds of years ago, but we're still talking about them today because God used their life in a mighty, wonderful way. They had a great life. But also pursue to be good people. Don't lose sight of how to be a good person because you're pursuing greatness. And what I mean by that is, there's a sad story of a renowned Christian author and this individual wrote a lot of wonderful books, and they would be known as a great Christian. The only issue was, what I was reading, and this is hearsay, was that individual was not the best father. This individual's family did not exactly have a great life with their dad. Here he was, a great man in the eyes of the church, in the eyes of other Christians, but to his own family, he was pretty absent. And again, this is all hearsay, but just the whole principle of that point, of being able to pursue a great life, but forgetting how to be a good person, forgetting how to listen, forgetting how to love, forgetting how to just live in the moment and cherish what God has given you. So, how can we do that? How can we do both? How can we not only be great Christians, but also good Christians? So, three things for you, and then I'll close. Number one, live a life of reverence. A life of reverence. Reverence of God and who He is. He's a great God. He's a good God. But remember something. If we're not giving Him the glory, if we're not living in a way that, for example, we're pursuing a great life, but we're doing it for our own selves. We're wanting to live a good life and be able to be desired of our peers and do little small things to help people, but we're not doing it for God's glory. Okay, we must live a life of reverence. We reverence Him as God. The Bible says, do all to the glory of God. So yes, friend, pursue great things. Pursue a Christian life that is above average. Pursue to learn as much as you can. Pursue to be a great prayer warrior. Pursue to be an edifier and an encourager. Pursue that good life. Pursue that everyday life of people saying, I want to be around them. They are a good person. They are a loving, peaceful, merciful, long-suffering person. But do it all to the glory of God. Don't do it for self-recognition. Don't do it for praise. Don't do it for your own ego. Don't be in competition with other Christians. Do it for the glory of God. Live your life in reverence of God and who He is. Number two, reliance. If we want to be good and great Christians, not only do we need reverence of God and who He is, we need reliance on God in what He wants. Reliance on God. We cannot be great or good without God. First and foremost, you cannot be saved apart from God, from His mercy, His grace. We cannot live the Christian life apart from Him. We cannot aspire to be great things for Him and achieve those things without Him. We cannot aspire to be good people day to day, at home, at work, build relationships, truly love people like Jesus did. Leaving places better the way we found them. You know, Jesus was a great, He had all the power. He raised Lazarus from the dead. But before He raised Lazarus from the dead, He wept because He loved Lazarus. We can't have relationships with people like that without God. We can't do it. It's the new heart that He's given us. It's that love that He's given us. My life verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So number one, reverence of God and who He is. Number two, reliance on God and what He wants. Let Him define what great is. Let Him define what good is. Okay? Don't sit down and you define what is. Allow God to do that through His Word. And then lastly, responsibility to ourselves. So reverence of God, reliance on God, but then responsibility to ourselves. Take an inventory. Examine yourself. Why do you do things the way you do them? That's something you need to do. That's something you need to take upon yourself. What are my goals? What do I really want? Where do I see myself at the end of this year? Okay, think of that for a minute. Where do you see yourself at the end of this year? Now, let me ask you this question. Is that what God wants? Are you doing that? Let me ask it this way. Where do you see yourself at the end of this year? But then ask yourself this question. Why do you want to be there? Is it so you can give God the glory? Is it because you feel that is a life He is calling you to? Is it because in His Word you are abiding by His commandments? Or is this just a self goal for you because you just want to be a better person, or you just want to accomplish certain things, or you just want to be known among your peers as a great person? Ask yourself those questions. What are your intentions? You need to take ownership. You need to examine yourself. You need to pray that prayer, search me, O God, and ask yourself truly, why do I do things the way I do them? Why do I want to be a good person? Why do I want to achieve great things? Is it because I want to give God the glory, or is it for my own status? So pursue that life with God, not only to be a good person, but also to be a great person. I hope this was a blessing to you, and until next time, may the Lord bless you.
All things new, that's the power of Christ.